Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen, and we want to pump your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy in this next half hour. Our show today is sponsored by missionradio.org, missions with an S, radio.org. Believe all of us have a purpose, a destiny in this life, a mission to carry out a very important cause. So go to missionsradio.org and donate to help their cause and take a listen to all the radio shows they have to offer. So happy new year, everyone. I'm so glad you're tuning in this week, and I hope you had a great holiday. And since this is our first show of the new year, I wanted to keep it really light and easygoing. So I have two great guests today here to help us do that. Our first guest was in the banking industry, marketing, publishing. He was even editor-in-chief to magazines such as International Mail Magazine, Harbor Living Magazine, and Carson Venture Magazine. He now works alongside many top elected officials, mayors, assembly members, county supervisors, state senators, and congressional members as a consultant and advisor. He also has a radio show called It's Talk Time. So please welcome Zeke Vidari. Hi, Zeke.
Well, hello. How are you? Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Yes. I'm so glad to have you here.
And I am very happy and delighted that you've asked me to do your first show of the year. That's exciting.
Yes. We're joined here by our second guest. He is the founder of a local business networking group called the Unified Small Business Alliance, USBA, with over 2,000 members. He's also the owner of Matucci Real Estate Company with over 60 agents, and he's a huge community and neighborhood advocate currently serving as the City of Torrance Social Service Commissioner, and he's been quoted as being a force to be reckoned with. So please welcome Aurelio Matucci.
Oh, thank you so much, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, first let me say that I am honored to sit next to Aurelio Matucci, being his tenure that he has and his background. It's truly an honor to be here with my friend Aurelio Matucci.
Pleasure's mine.
And actually, you had a lot of your SBA meetings here, as a matter of fact, and I attended some. I try to attend as many as I can because it's phenomenal. What you're doing for the city, for people, for the businesses, it's really unsurmountable. You are truly a hero for many, many businesses, and I am honored to sit here next to him.
We do really appreciate all that you do.
Well, thank you so much, Zeke. We've known each other for a few years. You've actually been very inspiring throughout the years. Part of the reason why I have the USBA is because of your encouragement throughout the years. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, that's a different show, actually. We should do that in a different show.
Yeah. Zeke is sort of one of my mentors when it comes to the radio show because he kind of got me started in radio and podcasting once I started being a guest on his show. So I do want to give a shout out to Zeke for that.
And thank you. I'll say this. You already had the fire in you. You just didn't see it. Or sometimes I think what happens, and I know this is going to be part of the show, this is pretty much what the show is all about. If you're a parent, you need to truly understand what you carry inside of you in terms of that energy, the goal, what you're looking to do, what kind of inspiration are you looking to do in your children. Now, when I look at people like you, people like Aurelio, I look at the fire they have within. And sometimes people don't see that. We don't understand that. We're too busy taking care of our kids, and we truly don't understand how much we have grown within. And the more you listen to people like you, like Aurelio, like many other people that have inspired me, as a matter of fact, even kids. I have a little niece. When she was 5 years old, she came up to me one day and said, "Uncle Zeke, is chicken soup really good for you?" And I said, "Of course." She says, "Not if you ask the chicken." And she took off running. Well, to her, that was a joke. But to me, that was an eye-opening awareness that there's always a different view as opposed to mine. And when you can see that, then you truly walk around understanding that people view things differently. So you have to treat your kids the same way. You have to give them the respect from their perspective, from their age. What are they looking at? What is it that they look at? And truly try to understand. Sometimes, as I said before, I can stand in front of Aurelio and I'm looking at a 6 and he's arguing that it's a 9 and I'm saying, "No, it's a 6 and he says, "No, it's a 9. Well, I need to be wise enough to understand that we're looking at the same thing just from a different perspective. So kids are the same way. If you look at a child when they're asking you a question, you have to understand truly their perspective. So if your child is saying, look, I want staring, I want to be on the phone for 2 hours playing game. Well, hold on. Okay, I understand you want to do that. But why don't we do this so that we both win? I'll give you 1 hour, and then you give me 1 hour of reading or math or anything of that nature. I do that with my child. She plays for one, and then she gives me 1 hour practicing the piano, and then I let her play for another hour. So there's a negotiation factor there that takes place, and you need to teach your kids that. You need to negotiate with them. Many times we're so busy watching our kids grow that we forget that we're growing old as well. But I don't want to steal the show here. I'm going to let my friend Aurelio put his point of view, because I know this show is about having kids at a later age. And I did have a child in my later years. And I think it's a blessing. To me, it is a blessing, a true blessing, to be able to have another human being that truly humanized me. Because people that knew me before I had my child wouldn't agree that I'm the same man.
Aurelio. So, Aurelio, tell us, what's so different that you see, that you experience, as opposed to other parents who have kids, say, in their 20s?
Well, I think there's definitely a benefit to having children at a later age. I think just being more mature, more established, it does help with, I guess, the understanding, like Zeke mentioned, understanding your children. I think when you have children too young, let's say you're in your early 20s, you're still a child yourself. You haven't truly experienced life, and you might actually take a different approach to parenting than you would maybe when you're in your 40s. I guess I'm truly blessed. I only have one child. He's 5 years old. I had him when I was 40. He's a wonderful kid, and I try to be as involved in his life as possible.
Yeah, I had my first child when I was 37, my second one at 40, and I watched my sister, who had her children, early 20s. And it is really a big difference. I think, of course, when you're in your 20s, you have a lot more maybe energy and vitality. But for me, it feels like I have more patience. I might not have the energy to run around, but I feel the experience I experienced in my life, I'm able to, like Zeke was saying, listen. I've learned that children, no matter what age, are great teachers. I think sometimes better than adults. Because they say what's in their heart with no agenda, with no malicious anything, even though it might come off like they touch a button, or maybe you yell too much or something, and we might think we don't. But I realized that as I got older that I know less and less, and that my children actually are born with so much knowledge to help me.
I think that that happens because they don't have preconceived notions as we do. As we grow up, we're told, don't do this, don't do that. This is bad for you. This is good for you. This don't. Believe this, don't believe this, this is God, this isn't God. We're actually trained and taught that we should look outside of ourselves for the answers. When we pray, what do we pray? We pray to heaven outside of us, but in reality, we have it within, but we're taught to look from the outside. Kids don't understand that yet, so they do look from within. They're looking at everything from their inside. I remember when I was young, I said to my mom one day, Mom, I was going through my first Holy Communion at that point. So I was relatively young. I said to her, what is heaven like? I started to understand what heaven was. And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, oh, come on, Mom, what is heaven like? She said, well, what do you think? And now I was flustered. I said, Mom, what is heaven like? And she says, Zeke, sit down. So I sat down and she says, whatever I tell you heaven is, that's only what I think. And no one out there, not the priest, not the nun, no one can tell you what heaven is like because they don't know. They could only tell you what they think it is. So if that's what you're going to believe, then you might as well believe what you think it is. And that was really, my mom wasn't academically educated, but she had wisdom. She was very knowledgeable. Women from back then understood things, and they understood the kids. As you said, they had patience for us kids. The benefit now that I see of having a child at an older age is that, as Aurelio said, we have more patience. We understand things a little better, as opposed to when you're young, you're thinking of you. How many mothers say, I'm going to go to the gym. I'll just throw my kid in the babysitter. Well, you should take care of your kid. No, you know, what about me? I have a life to live, too. That's the attitude. Not that it's wrong. I'm not criticizing those moms or dads out there that view life that way, because you do have to stay in shape and you do have to work and you have to maintain a certain level of responsibility with your kids in terms of clothing, education, and what have you. But you also have to spend some time with them. I look at my child as an open book. When she was born, I started writing in her pages. Every day, writing in her pages. In hopes that as she gets a little older and she reads the story, she will continue writing She will understand the story I was trying to finish. When she does, she's done with her book or thus her life. And that's pretty much the understanding you get as you get older with a child.
So it's like a journal you're writing for her?
Yes.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
And like I said, it in hopes that every day I just, her experiences when she fell, when she cried, when she learned how to ride a bike, every day I write something about her on that day. So one day she will grow up and she'll look at that and think, wow, I did all of this. Hopefully she'll follow the same steps with her kids to understand really what a parent is, what you mean to a parent, how much significant you brought into my life as a child.
Now, Zeke, you mentioned spending time with your child, and I think that's very important, but spending quality time is even more crucial. A lot of times we're in the same room, but we're doing different things. I might be maybe reading the newspaper, watching the news, or reading a book or whatever, and maybe my kid's doing something else.
Everybody's on their electronics.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, he'll be on the computer watch YouTube videos. But we need to learn how to connect. And it's okay to play cops and robbers with your five-year-old. It's okay to, you know, maybe play chase.
Pony.
Yeah, be the pony. I mean, my kid, one of the favorite thing my kid does is jumps on my back. I'll lay down on the floor and he'll just get on top like a saddle and pretend like I'm a horse or a cow. The other day I was a cow. I don't know how many people ride cows, but he thought I was funny. And that's the kind of connections that I really, really love. And one thing to the parents out there, you have a window of opportunity. That window of opportunity is really short. You know, those first few years, there's most important, most crucial development years. Now, I'm not a kid expert. I know that everything that I've done from the point he was born to now he's, 5.5 years old, I know that I put every effort I can to be connected with him, take a walk. You'd be surprised how many great things you talk about on a walk around the block, you know, holding hands with your kid and not have any cell phone with you, nothing, just a simple walk. And yeah. Whether it's a nighttime, in the morning, cold or hot, doesn't matter. Take that walk. Maybe even walk in the rain. Things like that are so memorable. And one thing that I haven't been exposed in my life, I hate to say this, a loving dad. I didn't have that. I mean, he loved me. I know he loves me, but he didn't take the walk with me. I never remember holding his hand or jumping on his back. Hopefully my child will be the parent that I'm trying to be. And sometimes you're the complete opposite. As a child, you grow up in an environment to where you say, well, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like my father, where he was just working 7 days a week. I would wake up in the morning, he was already gone. I would go to sleep, he wasn't home yet. And he was a hard worker, hard worker. I've learned my work ethics from him, but I missed out on a lot of great things that I'm trying to give my child at this time. So for those of you out there, don't miss out on that little window opportunity.
Yeah, because as we know, once they get to preteen and teenagers, that's when they discover their friends and their outside world, and they're less with us.
Too late.
Yes, it's too late. And if you're not there those first 8 years or so, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff.
Right. And as Aurelia mentioned, and you mentioned as well, Jacqueline, I my dad was not the, he was a police officer. So he was tough and rough, and he had his friends, and you know, we had our place as kids, but I used to box, won the Golden Gloves, and played soccer, was one of the top scorers in high school. He never once went to watch me play. When I asked him, why don't you come and watch me fight? He was, oh, you're fighting bums. You're going to... He never really had much of encouragement for me, whereas my grandfather did. My grandfather was more of my dad figure than my dad was. And needless to say, there were 7 of us. So I'm not throwing stones at my dad, who he should rest in peace. He's dead already. But because we're 7 of us, Aurelia and I are lucky we only have 1. So our parents had, in my case, 7. I think in yours was 4.
Three of us.
So it's not as easy when you have 3 personalities running around and expecting you to be special to them specifically, as opposed to having 1 child. So having 1 child is a little easier, again, in terms of devoting some time to them. Does that mean we can't go do our own thing at the gym? Does that mean we can't go out with our friends? That's not really what I are insinuating or even suggesting. We're saying that you should have some time, as he's mentioned, a walk. That walk is memorable for kids. I remember walking with Camille, and she didn't know what a storm drain was. And I explained to her, when it rains, this is what happens. Water goes into the ocean and eventually becomes clouds and then comes back. So it recycles. One day when she was in first grade, this happened when she was in a daycare center, early learning school, what they call it. And they were talking about the rain, and she put her hand up and was able to explain all of that to the teacher. And the teacher was just dumbfounded, like, what? So he called me and asked me, you know, your child happened. Wow, what an impressive conversation she had. No one in the class can speak like she can. So I've made it a point of making sure that she communicates, that she understands, because when she grows up, I want her to be a congressional member or maybe even the president of the United States. That may sound a little exaggerated, but by the time she gets of age, women presidents will be a common thing. It won't be something like our first one or our second one or third. It'll be a commonplace.
I'm okay with that, only if my kid is vice president.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey, there we go. Vidari Matucci. There we go.
That's the ticket right there. What year is that?
We'll bring all the Sicilians out here from so they can vote.
The Italians are going to take over.
Yeah, they can vote.
Too many vowels in our names.
Well, I really thought Giuliani was going to make it, but evidently I really thought that he would probably be a Secretary of State. He's got issues that I probably disagree with, but this isn't about politics. So let's get back into
it. You know, Zeke has that political bug.
I'm sorry. That's just part of me. I'm glad you mentioned the fact that I work with politics.
I like his intro, you know, kids into president, and all of a sudden we're talking about politics. That's smooth, Zeke. Very smooth.
Well, I mean, my daughter is 7th grade and my son's in 4th grade, and they knew about the presidential election. They knew what was going on. They're learning it from either their friends or just the internet. You might as well just start telling them what they need to know instead of them finding it out.
In fact, this particular election brought a lot of fear into kids. I had to go and talk to her teacher because he was instilling fear in them. Her mom happens to be Mexican. So she came to me one day and said, if Trump wins, is mom going to have to go back to Mexico? I said, no, why would you say something like that? She said, well, my teacher said that Trump is going to do this. And I was very irresponsible. I went and spoke to the teacher. And he said, well, that's not what I said. I said, that's exactly what you said, because my child is not going to compose her own stories. That's what you said to her. And if I ask the whole class right now what you said, I guarantee that they'll all concur with her.
Did that teacher disappear now? Or?
No, he's actually...
Knowing Zeke?
Well, he knows. We made some cement boots for him already, right. So he better not repeat it.
Yeah. He has ties to the mafia.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't say that. Because this is a podcast.
It is a podcast. We're not admitting anything.
Yes, you do. I think that parents do have a responsibility to explain things to kids. The media is far-fetched. Very rarely does the media tell you the truth anymore. So everything you hear about Hillary, everything you hear about Trump is probably 25% of that is probably true. The rest of it's all just pure billions of dollars going into smearing campaigns. And it's a shame that we have to have that type of...
Especially when you're talking about kindergartners, like my kid, you know, coming back with certain... I mean, some of the stuff he would say that he heard in school, especially from the teachers, I was kind of like, wow, I can't believe they're talking about this. And 5 years old, let it go. You know, I understand letting them learn maybe the Constitution, the Pledge of Allegiance, how the amendments work, the Bill of Rights, maybe even the process of electing a president. But I don't think we should get politics.
Correct.
That's political views into the mix. I think learning the process in the American way, our founding fathers. I mean, my kid, he's 5 years old, and if I didn't teach him about our founding fathers, I mean, I know it's five and everything, but wouldn't you think that that's one of the most important things that you would teach a child is how our country was born?
Yeah. And I started reading to my children when I was pregnant with them, and now they're finding out that they actually hear you singing, they hear all of that.
Right.
So we don't know when they take it in. We have to be very cognizant. I have to be very cognizant what I say And I know that my kids believe what I say because they trust and respect
Correct.
Me. So if I tell them first, like you were saying, and then they hear from their teacher, they'll question the teacher more and they'll come to me and say, yes. Well, teacher said this or my friend said this.
Right.
And they want to know why is there a difference.
Correct. Right. I taught Camille to always ask, how do you know? How do you know? That's always ask them. Somebody tells you something, how do you know? Because the reality is they don't. I agree
with
you.
Yeah, opinions are not facts, yeah. Right? I mean, opinions...
Yeah, are opinions.
Or just opinions. They're not and facts.
Not
and facts. Even facts sometimes could be
yeah.
wrong. Yeah, I mean...
But even facts are not
But,
facts.
You know, but it yeah. goes... I guess it goes beyond political.
Right.
And I mean, you can... pretty much opinions and facts, you can pretty much... Whenever you're talking about anything, whether it's geography or world history, you know, and when it goes, world history has a lot of politics right. involved into it. But, you know,
a lot of things we're learning in school between science and math and physics, they're finding out that what they thought were facts actually wasn't fact,
That's
right?
Cool. I mean, right. Some of the issues that a lot of parents don't understand when you have a child, you've got to remember that 80% of the kids are audio or visual. They learn by audio or they learn by visual, and that's why it's no coincidence that we have a chalkboard in classes, because teachers talk, they tell, show and tell. Because some kids will learn by reading it, some kids will learn by audio, and I'm actually audio. I learn more by listening than I do by reading.
It's actually another demographic called kinesthetic, and they need the feeling. That's why right. Montessori school Correct. Are so great.
And you can only tell what your child is if you just listen to the way people express themselves. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, that sounds good. I hear you. They're audio. When people say, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah, that looks good. They're people that are visual.
Right. Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
Right. I feel that. It's a feeling person.
Funny.
I smell a fish. I smell something funny. Those people are smell. Camille smells.
Yeah.
Before she eats something, she smells it. And if it doesn't
smell. You know what's funny? Because when I was studying to be a real estate broker, I got all these books. And then finally, I ended up buying these DVDs because I figured, you know what? I would literally like read through these books and nothing was absorbing. Then I put on these DVDs. I passed the test like nothing.
So you're more auditory too.
Yeah. I mean, I had to visually look at the DVD and they, you know, like a teacher would talk and write on a chalkboard. And that's how I guess I was able to absorb the information.
Right. And then the reason we're talking about this now, so that people can use some of that knowledge with their kids too.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are saying, well, I know. Well, that's good. I'm glad you do. But there's a lot of people that don't. And so by listening to this in hopes, we're hoping that somehow someone will listen and say, wow, you know what? That makes sense. And maybe try to utilize that with their own kids, even if they're a little older in age. Kids need structure. They need to have structure at home. You can't let your kid do whatever he wants to do. A good friend of mine who was a captain, actually, he's now up there with the sheriff's department, Captain Rogers, Todd Rogers. He was telling a story once about his child. A little girl was about 16 years old, and she said, well, I'm going to put a lock on my door in her room. And he says, you're not going to put a lock on you. Well, when your friends come over, you can close the door, but you don't put a lock. There's nothing you should be doing in there that merits you having a lock. Well, what if somebody comes in? Anybody knocks on the door. So you're not putting a lock. But I want to, but you're not. And he stood firm, and that you just don't give in. They can have a fit. They can go take a run if they want to, but you're not putting a lock. So he's always had a structure at home. Of course, they go through an age of rebellion, but eventually they come back. Yeah. Kids will understand once they start having kids, everything that you said to them comes back to them. Like, wait a minute. Oh, wow, this is good. And you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's not going to work every single time. When I talk to people about this sometimes, I do a lot of speaking in seminars at different schools. And GAP, the GAP is a program actually that helps disadvantaged kids so they don't join gangs. I've done a lot of work with LAPD at their JIP program, Juvenile Impact Program. So I've worked with a lot of kids in terms of trying to communicate with them and trying to help them understand some of the lack of dialogue that they have, because they rather hang out with groups of people that can only grow as much as they can. So you need to be able to remove your child from that. once they start going to school, as you said earlier, they're going to more than likely pick their friends, and they're going to pick their friends by the self-confidence that they have. As Aurelio said, by instilling confidence in his child and helping him understand and answer questions. How many times do kids ask you questions over and over when you're in the car? Oh, shut up already. That's not good. When kids start asking you questions, that's a sign of intelligence. They want to know. They have curiosity. And you have to be able to give them the best answer, not your emotional answer, as Aurelio said earlier. And if you don't, it's best to say, you know what? I really don't know the answer. Why don't we get a book? Let's buy a book and read it about this. That's the kind of emotional and intellectual investment you should have with your kids. Not, as Aurelio said earlier, go out there and buy them a little iPad. That's going to come for Christmas if they behave and read.
My wife and I, we decided, even before Giuseppe was born, that we would do no video games at all. Nothing. And people keep on telling us, oh, no, that's impossible. We're going to see their friends do it and so on. We go to friends' houses and he'll watch them play and he can play there. But for him to come home with a video game, no way. No way. I don't want a child going to spend their early age behind a joystick or whatever they have now. Yeah. It used to be joysticks when it was in my age group. Yeah.
That's very important. It really is. And if you have time or take the time to explain to your child, as I do to Camille, their parents don't care how much time he or she spends on that phone or an iPad, but I do. When we're in the car, she says, can I use your phone? I say, yeah, for 5 minutes. Because I know they want to play. I know they have that itch to play, and she has games there that she downloaded already so she can play. So I give her about 5-10 minutes. I said, well, why don't we talk first? Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes, and then we're going to talk. She says, okay, Daddy. So you have to give them. You can't just be rigid like in the military. No, you can't. And you get up at this time and you have to be able to allocate some time.
Since this is a New Year episode show, some of these ideas with no video and respect all this, I think it'd be great instead of just having a New Year's resolution for yourself, maybe incorporate some of these as a resolution for your family too, mm-hmm. as something you can do together.
If you don't mind, Zeke, it's funny how we come up with New Year's resolutions. I mean, I don't know, for as far back as I can remember, we have this New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save up to buy a new car. I personally think when you have a child, every day should be a New Year's resolution day. Every day. You shouldn't have to wait till January 1st. Every day you need to look at it as, look, this is what I need to do today to make my family, myself and my family, because if you're not happy personally, it's really hard to get your kids to be happy in the family environment. You know, divorce. I'll mention that because unfortunately there's people that I love very much in my life that are going through a divorce right now. Divorce is, I guess, it's very common, and I think we've almost normalized it in our society. Everybody seems to be going through divorce. I don't know what the statistics are.
Over 50% of marriages end in divorce.
And, you know, I'm not one to judge because I know there's a lot of relationships that just don't work. But if you're out there listening right now and you're going through rocky relationship, always have to look at what brought you together in the first place. Those few little things that you liked about each other. And I say that for the sake of the child. Now, if you do end up in divorce, because obviously, you know, things happen, just make sure that you don't use your child as a tool, as a bargaining chip or some kind of leverage. Your child is a child. It's a human being. In my life, like I said, there's individuals that I love very much that are going through divorce. And I always mention to both of them that your child is very fortunate because they have both parents that love them very much. It just happens to be one has them, you know, 3 days and the other one has them 4 days. And the next week it's the other way around. And it's a very difficult situation. Make sure if you are in those situations that you always, always keep it positive when speaking about the other, you know, the other parent. Very difficult situations. And also to be a father figure, you don't have to be the father. If you're the boyfriend, let's say the new boyfriend that's in somebody's life. Okay. And I'm not saying that you have to take over the role of being the father, but how about just being a father figure? And same thing goes for, you know, moms or girlfriends and so on. You know, so some of the best mentors in my life, I had teachers that were just so loving and caring, where when I went home, I still felt loved, even if, you know, maybe my dad wasn't there and my mom was, you know, busy on the phone. I think neglect is one of the worst things you can do to a child.
Yep.
Abandonment. Yeah, and neglect and abandonment. So just for everybody out there, just keep that in mind. You know, just
that's actually a really great resolution, is make every day one.
Absolutely. Instead of just every day should be a New Year's resolution thing. Absolutely.
Any last word on that?
I think resolution, you're right. And I really hit a very good point there. Your resolution should probably be to actually alleviate the situation with your ex if it is in turmoil. I think it should be for the sake of your own, his own, and the child's own sake to have a good relationship. I've been a mediator many times for different attorneys, and many times I had to really sit down and talk. In most cases, it's the dad that has the bad attitude. So it's always challenging to sit there and try to make a man understand, listen, this woman is not your enemy. She's somebody's sister, daughter, and you have a daughter. One day she's going to grow up, but you want her to be treated like this. So you have to come to a place where you're agreeing, where you should be able to say, look, for the sake of compassion, let me work this out with that other significant or previous significant other. Divorce is tough. No doubt about it. Divorces are tough because we're divorcing an emotion. Not only physically, we're not only separating ourselves physically, but an emotion. And sometimes when a person comes into the life of a person that's getting divorced or has been divorced, emotions flare. So I think we're coming to the end of the show. So yeah. I'm going to go ahead on and pause. We should probably make another show of this.
I definitely am going to be making a few about single parenting because it's such a high statistic.
With that said, Happy New Year to everybody out there. Thank you for listening. And my name is Zeke Vidari.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody out there. My name is Aurelio Matucci. And for those of you out there that are, older in age and having kids later in life, I say try to stay in shape as much as you can. Be involved in your child's life whenever you can. And those moments that you're together in the same room, be together in that same room. Don't be on separate devices and so on. So God bless everyone and Happy New Year.
You're going to find Zeke's information about his radio show and about Aurelio's networking USBA group in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you soon. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missions.radio.org. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured on missionsradio.org. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.